And good morning, church. Hopefully you are surviving the 105 degree heat and that your soles of your shoes aren't melting on the sidewalk as you walk down. No, it's been a cooker. I know for us, you know, we sleep at night with the windows open, hoping it'll cool off the house, but that doesn't even seem to work. Even sitting outside trying to enjoy the evening is still hot. But hey, we're surviving. Okay, speaking about sitting outside in the evening, if you've ever gone camping, then you might have experienced this moment where y'all are sitting around the campfire, right? You're sharing stories, you're joking around, you're having fun, you're probably eating something you shouldn't eat at 10:30 at night, right? But then all of a sudden you realize the fire's dying out and you need wood. And so you grab your flashlight and you head out into the darkness. And it's out in the darkness when you go to confidently click that flashlight, you discover something that dadgum thing, it don't work. And so you're standing out in the darkness with something that apparently should be working. I mean, you click it once and nothing. You click it a few more times and nothing. Then you start shaking it because apparently that's how batteries work, right? If you shake it enough, that word. You click it some more. No, click, 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 click. You click it like 46 times and you're thinking that 47th time will convince that flashlight to cooperate, but it never does. So you're standing there in the darkness and you have something that looks like a flashlight. Like it should produce some light. I mean, it's got LEDs in it. It's got the fancy rubber grip. It's got the button. It even has batteries. But when you need it, when you hit that button, nothing. It doesn't work. It has the appearance of something that'll work, but it doesn't. And that's the problem with a dead flashlight. It has the appearance of usefulness without the power to actually help you. That's why you need something that works. You need something that you can depend on when you're standing in the dark. And you know, I think for most of us, we don't really think about what we're trusting. When everything is going well, we can feel pretty self-sufficient, right? I mean, shoot, we've got a paycheck. We've got a house. We've got a plan. We've got people around us, we've got our routines, we've got enough in the bank, we even got tomorrow all figured out. But then something comes into our lives and it happens. You know, the phone rings, the doctor calls, the job disappears, the relationship falls apart, money gets tight, and the future all of a sudden becomes uncertain, and suddenly we're left standing in the dark. That's when we discover what it is that we're really trusting. You know, it's easy to carry something that looks dependable. It's another thing entirely to discover whether it can help you when you need it. That's why we need something, or rather someone, that we can genuinely trust. Not something that merely looks powerful. Not something that makes us feel secure for a moment. Not something that works only when circumstances are favorable. We need someone who is actually there when the darkness comes. And so turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, which is another hallelujah psalm, where we're going to learn about a contrast between the dead idols we might have in our lives that appear to bring blessing versus the living God who rules in heaven and actually does bring blessing. And so since we are in the Hallelujah Psalm series, you're getting a stockpile of reasons to praise the Lord. Here's some more coming your way. Reasons that we are to praise the Lord. We're going to look at that and where we're going to land with that. Okay, you've got your notes. First fill in. The first reason Psalms 115 gives us for praising the Lord is because He alone is the living and sovereign God. Fill that in. We praise the Lord because He alone is the living and the sovereign God. Okay, look at verse 1. The psalmist is going to start, Psalm 115. He's going to start off by vindicating God's glory. Watch this. You're going to hear kind of a taunt in this as we read it. Look at verse 1. Psalmist says this, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness." Now watch this, verse 2. "Why do the nations say, where is their God?" You feel the taunt there? Hey, Israel, you Hebrews, you Jews, where's your God? Here's our God. You see it? Made of wood, made of stone, made of gold. Where's yours? I don't see yours anywhere. You sense this kind of taunt, right? So look at verse 3. Psalmist wants God's glory. He wants it to be vindicated. So look at verse 3. You know, you think your gods rule. You think your gods are powerful. Watch this. He says this. Verse 3. "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them." See, the psalmist right off the bat, he says, "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases." You know what that speaks of? God's power, his sovereignty. He does whatever he wants. He's in the heaven. He rules and reigns and does whatever he wants. Notice the contrast. You know, their gods are just clumps of material that can't do nothing. They can't do anything. They're impotent. They have eyes. They apparently, it looks like a flashlight, you know. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears. They cannot hear. You know, they cannot do anything. They don't work. So notice the warning that he gives in verse 8. He says, "Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them." That's interesting. Let that sink in for a second. I think there's something to be said here. I want you to fill this in. And that's this. Whatever you trust to save, satisfy, or secure you will eventually shape you. Let me say that again. Whatever you trust to save, satisfy, or secure you will eventually shape you. If you trust money, you can become consumed by money. That's all I'm all about, is money. If you trust status, you can become consumed with appearance. I'm so consumed in how I look in front of people. You know, because I'm all about status. I want to be top of the rank. I want to be, you know, I want everybody to look at me. So I'm so consumed with how I look among people. You know, if you trust comfort, you know, and you go through life and I'm just trying to avoid pain. I live my life as just pain avoidance. Then eventually you will be unwilling to sacrifice. When God moves you into a situation that might not be comfortable, you'll be, "Oh no, I'm not going, Lord." Because why? You trust comfort. If you trust yourself, you can become proud and independent. Point is, what you worship will eventually shape you. You're kind of like two friends that hang out for a long time, right? BFFs. You know, best friends forever. You know, they hang out all the time. So, you know, eventually they might, you know, use the same phrases, may kind of develop the same habits, same attitudes, maybe the same expressions. You know, they show up to, oh, I don't know, Applebee's, kind of wearing the same outfit. "Oh, great minds think alike. Oh, we're just best buds." You know, eventually one influences the other. They become inseparable. Who you spend your time with influences who you become. So the psalmist says, don't trust in dead idols that will shape your life. Instead, trust in the living God. And there's benefits to that. Look at verse 9. When you trust God, watch the benefits. Verse 9, he says, all you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Okay, mind you, this is poetry, so we read it as poetry. Notice there's repetitions of three here. Three times he calls them to trust in the Lord. And the reason for that trust, notice it's repeated. He is their help and their shield. He says it three times. It's like he's grilling it into your head. You know, that means that God isn't merely alive, unlike the dead idols. He's active. And he isn't a God who just sits on a shelf waiting to be admired. He is a God who actively helps his people. And that makes him worthy of our trust over anything in our lives, because he is an active, he's not a dead idol, he's an active God. And it makes him worthy of our trust. Listen, if God alone is the living and sovereign God, fill this in. If God alone is the living and sovereign God, then God alone is worthy of our trust. God alone is worthy of our trust. Why? Because God is able to help us and protect us from anything. That's what the psalmist says. He is our help and our shield. He is our help and our shield. And you know, I don't know what in your life that you are leaning on for help and protection, right? I know everybody's situation is a little bit different. But if you think that it can replace what only God can give, then I would heed the warning here that the psalmist gives. Don't trust in those things. You trust in God. You know, picture a little child walking through a rainstorm with his father. Right? The child don't understand the weather. You know, he can't control the storm. He can't stop the rain. He doesn't need to. Why? Because he has his father's hand. And over him is his father's umbrella. The child doesn't trust the umbrella because the umbrella is powerful. He trusts his dad. The umbrella is simply evidence that his father, his dad, is caring for him. And that's the picture here. Our confidence isn't in a powerless object. Our confidence is in a powerful person. And so God is worthy of our trust. So the first reason we praise God is because he alone is the living and sovereign God. He is our helper and our shield. Second, we praise God because, number two, he remembers, blesses, and cares for his people. All right? Praise the Lord because he remembers, blesses, and cares for his people. All right, look at verse 12. Psalmist goes on to say this. He says, the Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now again, folks, it's poetry. And so there's symmetry here. I hope you start seeing the symmetry. There's groups of three. You know, back in verses 9 through 11, three times, he refers to three different groups of people. You know, the Israel, the house of Aaron, those who fear the Lord. It's a reference to all in Israel who trust in the Lord. And he calls them continually trust in the Lord, right? And those three who trust in him, three times he gives them, there's an assurance of salvation. He is their helper and shield. There's God's protection. So in these verses, there's another group of three. It's a threefold blessing formula. He will bless. He will bless. He will bless. He repeats it using the same groups. The psalmist wants his reader to see that because, again, God remembers his people who trust him, and so he blesses them. He blesses his people. Listen, God loves to bless. I hope you feel the psalmist just growing that in your head. He loves to bless. Fill this in. And those blessings should lead to praise. Those blessings should lead the praise. When God blesses you, that should lead the praise. You know, I think it's kind of fun during Christmas time watching kids open up their presents. Isn't that kind of fun? Especially as a mom and dad, you're out there, you're watching your kids open up the presents. They get out there super early at oh dark 30 or whatever it is, and they eye that pile of presents, and they'll take one and they will just rip open into that thing, and they're tearing it open. All of a sudden, it's oh, just what I always wanted. Oh, and then they look at the next one. They take that one, they just chuck it to the side. All right, where's the next one? And they grab another one, rip it open. Oh, that's great. Oh, another one. And pretty soon, they have got a pile of presents, and that kid's almost lost in the wrapping paper. I mean, it's just crazy, you know. But sometimes as kids, most times as kids, they forget where those presents came from, right? And where's my thank you, son? Daughter, where's my... They forget where the presents came from. And that's the image here. You know, sometimes we can do the same thing with God. You know, God blesses us with family, so we just focus on family. God blesses us with provision, so we just focus on provision. God gives us opportunities, we just focus on opportunities. Folks, it's not about look what I got, look what all God has blessed me with. It's not about that. It's look how good God is. See what I'm saying? The focus is not getting on the blessings, it's going up towards God. Because He's the one that gave the provision, the blessing. So God gives us good things because He loves to bless. He's a good God. And so that's what the psalmist is wanting to do. Turn our attention up back to Him. Back to God who deserves the praise because He brought the blessing. Now let's keep going. Verse 16. I want to show you how this psalm ends. It ends with this. Verse 16 says, "The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth He has given to mankind. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord." There's your hallelujah. Now, you might be scratching your head on that one. That one might be a little bit difficult, but here's the point. Unlike the pagan idols, God reigns from His heavenly throne, and He has placed humanity on this earth. So while on this earth, it is important for God's people to praise Him while they live here on this earth. God blesses His people while they're on this earth, and so we praise Him. That's why the psalmist says it's not the dead, but it's we. It's the living who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. He's trying. I hope you feel the urgency that psalmist has given you. You praise Him now. God blesses, and you praise Him now. Don't wait. Don't wait. He blesses you right back at Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What motivates our praise is that God continually blesses His people. He continually blesses His people. You see, those idols, they can't bring blessing because guess what? Those idols can't do anything. They can't. But God is alive and He remembers and He blesses and He cares for His people. He continuously does that. Fill this one in. God's goodness towards us never runs dry. God's goodness towards us, it never runs dry. You know, imagine walking into your kitchen, right? You turn the faucet on. You leave that faucet on. Guess what? That water, I'm taking a guess at this. That water's probably going to continually flow, right? You leave it on, it's just going to flow, right? You might get a glass of water and give it off to somebody. You get another glass of water and give it off to somebody else. Get another glass. But guess what? That water is just going to keep flowing. And eventually you might say, okay, I'm good on that. But guess what? The faucet doesn't run out because you have 3 cups of water filled up. It does not run out. It continually supplies you with water. And that's a small picture of God's goodness towards us. You know, we may receive one blessing and we thank Him. then another one comes, and then another one. Sometimes we don't even notice how many different ways that God has been good to us until we stop and look back. And even when circumstances are difficult, folks, listen, God's goodness never runs dry. Amen. It never runs dry. His love never runs dry. His faithfulness never runs dry. His mercy never runs dry. His presence never, ever, ever runs dry. It don't. It just continually flows. Because God remembers, He blesses, and He cares for His people. So our praise, folks, listen, our praise, it's not based on having a perfect life. I know we all don't have that. But it's based on knowing that the goodness of our God never runs out. So why not praise Him now for it? While you still live on this earth, why not praise Him now for it? Don't wait. Praise Him now. So why do we praise our God? Because He alone is the living and sovereign God. He is worthy of our trust. He's able to help us. He's able to protect us. And because He is that God, He doesn't just have the power to save us. He actually remembers us, blesses us, and cares for us. So if God is that powerful to be trusted, and He's that good to be praised, and now the question becomes this: if this is who God is, and this is what He's done, what do we do? Number three, fill it in. Trust the Lord, not idols. Trust the Lord, not idols. You know, if I was to give a definition from this psalm of an idol, it would be this. An idol is anything we trust to give us what only God can ultimately provide. Anything in your life that you trust that will bring you something that only God can provide, it's an idol. So it leaves you with this question: who will you trust? So you ask yourself this: where do you run when you need help? When you are in dire straits, where do you run? Where do you turn? You know, hey, what do you depend on for security? What do you depend on to keep you safe? What do you believe will make you happy? Right? That's what everybody seems to be pursuing, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? Happiness. Well, what is it that's going to make you happy? You know, what do you fear losing the most? You know, these are some questions you can begin to ask yourself, but they might lead to exposing some idols that you might not even know that you have in your life. And so if you're wanting to start tearing down the idols in your life, I'd say this. Number one, you should first identify your idols. First identify what they are. And I think one of the hardest things about misplaced trust is that we don't always recognize it as an idol. I'm just taking a guess out here. I bet you most of you probably don't have little figurines down at home or down at your house or wherever up on your shelf, and you get up every morning, you bow down and you worship. You know, I'm just taking a guess. Probably most of us doesn't have that. This is a different culture and a different time, but we still can put our trust in things other than God. Okay, let me make this a little more concrete for you. Let me give you a few examples. You might struggle with control, right? You're the kind of person that loves to have a plan, right? You want to know what's happening, when it's happening, and how it's going to work out. And mind you, there's nothing wrong with planning. We all should be good planners. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes our desire for control becomes something more than planning. We begin to think, man, if I just get everything figured out, if I just figure it all out, then I'll be okay. If I can make the right decisions, nothing will go wrong as long as I'm making the right decisions. If I can keep my family safe, keep everything organized, stay ahead of all my problems, then and only then can I finally relax. And then something happens that you can't control. And suddenly you realize how much you have been depending on your ability to control things. You weren't just making plans. You were trusting your plans to bring you peace. A peace that only God can give, even when you can't have control. And life is chaotic. There is still a peace that only God can give. Some of us can struggle with that. You know, we can idolize even success, right? If I accomplish this, right? If I just get this position, if I reach this goal, then I will finally feel significant. I will finally feel worthy. Once I get this elevated job position, we can idolize success. You know, maybe it's people. You know, if my spouse loves me, if my kids turn out right, if my friends accept me, then maybe people will think well of me and I'll be okay. What about how God sees you? What about finding your significance and how God views you? Maybe it's myself. I don't need anybody. I'll figure it out. I can handle it myself. Point is, first thing to do is identify your idols, right? And once you do that, then you replace trust in idols with trust in God. You replace trust in idols with trust in God. You know, instead of trusting in your control, trust that God is in control, right? What did the psalmist say? Our God is in the heaven. He does whatever he pleases. God is in complete control. God is. And so your sense of okayness comes from the fact that he is in complete control of whatever is happening, even in the chaos. So your trust in him. You know, instead of trusting your reputation, trust God's approval. Right? Instead of trusting in your own ability, trust God's strength. Instead of trusting circumstances, trust God's sovereignty. Instead of trusting comfort, trust God's presence. Instead of trusting yourself, you trust in the Lord. You know, repentance isn't merely turning away from an idol. It's turning toward a living God, the one who can bless you with what you actually need. If you're searching for peace, if you're searching for significance, if you're searching for value, you won't find it in success or control or any of those things. That peace comes from God. Your significance, your worth comes from him and how he sees you. You are made in his image and he loves you. And you are worthy in his eyes. And I'd say lastly, let God's blessing produce praise. When you tear down that idol and you replace trusting in idols with trust in God, and God blesses you with that peace, that your sense of okayness, let God's blessing produce praise. Remember what the psalmist said there in verse 1? He said, not to us, the Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. You're praising God. You know, when we tear down those idols in our lives and we begin to experience the blessings from God that we thought our idols could give us, then that blessing becomes another reason to praise God. I have finally found my significance in him. Praise the Lord. Right? I've finally found my sense of okayness, my comfort from him, because he is in complete control. And so, praise the Lord. You know, when you stop trusting in your ability to control things and you start trusting in the fact that God is in complete control, then you will be able to experience his peace, knowing that, hey, God's got this. He's got this. You know, if you've been chasing that idol of success because you've been wanting to feel significance, and you decide to discover how significant you are to God, then you begin to experience His rest for you. And so now maybe instead of spending all your time pursuing all these goals, you can start spending more quality time with your family. Right? Maybe you can start showing up to church a little bit more. Or maybe even take some quality vacation instead of being on the job. Folks, every provision He provides becomes another reason to praise Him. He has an endless supply of blessings that will never run out because He loves to bless. Every answered prayer becomes another reason to worship Him. Every difficult circumstance becomes another opportunity, folks, to declare, "My God is still alive. My God is still reigning. My God is still my helper and my shield." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God alone is the living and sovereign God, folks. He remembers, He blesses, He cares for His people. So why not trust Him? You know those idols in your life that you actually depend on? They are useless compared to the living God who loves you and can actually bring you the blessings that you need. Father, we read a psalm like this and it's tough. Because misplaced trust in our lives is sometimes hard to identify, Lord. And it's typically not until we go through the darkness that we realize and we discover what we've been truly trusting and leaning on, Lord. But Lord, when those things get exposed, I just pray you help us tear those idols down and replace that trust in them with trusting in you. Lord, you love us. You care for us. You remember us. Even in those difficult times, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we keep turning to you. We keep tearing down the idols in our lives. We keep identifying and we pull them down and we just keep growing in our trust in you more and more every single day, Lord. And Lord, I pray when you bring us those blessings of whatever it is, if it's peace, if it's safety, if it's comfort, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we turn around and we praise you for it because you love us and you love to bless, Lord. We thank you for this psalm. We pray all this in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit. Amen.